For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, You demonstrated Your love for us. You did it. There isn't anything that we can do, Lord, to set ourselves free. Anything we can do to even receive Your love. It all comes from You. Everything comes from Your hand. You are so amazing. You are so glorious. Those of us who know You, Lord, You have taken us out of the kingdom of darkness, and You have translated us into the kingdom of Your dear Son. What an amazing truth to walk in this gift. Lord, we thank You that heaven is our home, and we make our home with You. We thank You that Your Spirit lives inside of us. We thank You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. What an amazing, amazing miracle that You would live inside of us, that You would take up residence with us, that You would give us new life, that You would do this for us. You are so amazing. What amazing grace. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You are so amazing. Your love knows no bounds. Your love is limitless. You are the lover of our soul. That You would do this. And all You do is invite us to come into Your home, to come into Your arms. And You even help us get there. You provide the way. You take care of the separation and sin problem and hurt and pain problem. You solved it. And You didn't cause it. You've done it all. What an amazing, amazing God You are. You are so amazing. You told us that we could experience You. You told us that we could know You. Imagine that. The Creator of the universe that we could know personally. That's amazing. What a miracle, Lord. What a miracle of life that You have set us free so that we could experience Your love. Who wouldn't want to know You? You move everything out of the way. You move heaven and earth out of the way so that we could know You and be loved by You and be found by You. If we know You, we are the found ones. We are not lost any longer. Found by You. Stabilized by You. Secured by You. Corralled by You in love. Oh God, we're so grateful. So grateful. We are eternally grateful. Thank You, Jesus. Oh. You know, on this Palm Sunday, as we're ready to celebrate, and we are celebrating who our Jesus is, and recognizing that the triumphal entry into Jerusalem that took place 2,000 years ago was so pivotal, was so important. It was such a big deal. The Lord says, I want to make Myself known to you, and the way has been prepared. Thank You. And the way has been prepared, and I'm coming again. I have come once 2,000 years ago, and I'm coming again. I so want you to know me well now. I so want you to be connected with me now. I really believe I hear him saying to each one of us right now, can we listen with our ears? You are amazing people. You are amazing people. You are people of love and people of grace. You are amazing. Our Jesus wants us to know that he feels and thinks that we are amazing. He has made us to be amazing by his love. He really is a marvelous, marvelous papa. He cares so much. And in him, there's always hope and never, 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 never condemnation. Any condemnation that comes our way is intended to hurt us. It doesn't come from him. And he came to remove all feelings of condemnation, all feelings of doubt and pain and insecurity. That's his job. That's his heart. And he's doing that. And he's drawing us to himself right now. Wow. When we were at Legends Nursing Home this week for a celebration, Resurrection Sunday, with those who some knew Jesus and more know Jesus now, Isabella Liptak was with us. Her parents came along. But she's 1 year old, and she's somewhere, is she? She's right there. And I was telling our mission group, we are having mission training weekend this weekend here, and so we've been here since Friday, many of us. And I said, let me tell you what I saw. I said, when Isabella was walking around, she's walking pretty well now. She's not toddling as much as she was. She's a year and a half, year and a half. And I saw Isabella, she was handed a, what do you call those things? Door handle, hanger, that's the word, thank you. Oh boy, a door hanger that were made by our children in the Kingdom Kids classes. And I saw her hand that, take that and hand that to a lady in a wheelchair. It was amazing. And what happened at that moment was supernatural. I could feel the power of God. I could feel the presence of God. This little forerunner in the making, who is being raised up amongst many in here to prepare the way of the Lord for the return of Jesus Christ, she was stepping out as she was in an environment of power. She was in an environment of worship and praise, and her little spirit was tracking with God. She was connecting with the love of God. Whether she can tell you about that and write a book or anything yet, I don't know. But I do know that God's doing amazing things with our children right now. And I was telling our mission team about that. It's just so cool. One of our little people also, who's 2 years old, was speaking life into his mommy when she didn't know there was life in her womb. That got your attention. And this little child kept saying, mommy, baby, mama, baby, mama, baby. And there wasn't a thought about baby. But because of that repeated comment that I truly believe was not an accident, a fluke, or anything else, I believe as the prophetic word of God, the parents thought, maybe we should listen to this, and did some checking, and sure enough, mama has baby in the womb. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now you'll have to wonder who that person might be, but you know that's up to that person to make that known. But I will tell you that this little boy I saw, can you hear this now? Because I believe God's releasing something over children, and that's all of us, because we're all kids. But the Lord gave me a vision, and I told the mission team that, the Lord gave me a vision when that little boy, person who spoke to his mommy, said that, gave me a vision when he was just a little tyke, littler than two, laying on this bench right here, because he couldn't walk. And he gave me a vision, and I saw that child about this tall. Can you see my hand? And this child was holding a microphone and prophesying. That's what I saw in the spirit, clearly. It's like, whoa, that's big. And that was you. Yes, it was. Oh, surprise, surprise. The jig is up. Now they made it known it's really okay. So don't worry. Like, oh no, are they offended? No, she knows. It's okay. They already know. But isn't that great? God is doing those kinds of things. And the Lord is saying, I'm so serious about my little people. And I want them to understand my presence. I want them to be in my anointing. I want them to be able to be raised up for parents and grandparents and people in their sphere of influence in the church to be able to say, ah, I want you to be part of a culture where the Lord is everything in your life. Nothing else matters before Him. And this is the culture that the Lord is breeding. It's amazing. And we're seeing direct results of the heart cry and the prayer for that already in more than just the two examples that I gave you. Isn't this cool? And the Lord is taking little people up to heaven and they're experiencing Him. Okay? I don't know if we shared this last Sunday, but maybe on a Tuesday, that one of our little four-year-olds had a vision at the same time as our worship leader of the Lion of Judah. And this was a week ago. I like that. And the worship leader is the one who said, hey, I had the same one. How about that? I like that. The Lord is pleased. Michelle shared something at Mission Training Weekend yesterday, and she said she had a vision. Are you here? Oh, there you are. Why don't you share your vision? Okay, it just came to my heart, so just share it.
Had a vision twice over this past year. One of the times, the second time I had it was during Upper Room 120, and did not feel at liberty to share it at that time, but it kind of went with what the Lord was doing over Mission Training Weekend. But I was in worship, and I saw a picture of a sheer stone cliff, and it was at the base was the sea, and it went up, and it went above the cloud line, and it was just a sheer drop-off. And then at the top of the cliff of the mountain, carved into the rock was a cathedral. It was like a temple, and it was carved out of the rock that the cliff was made out of. And the Lord said that is Frontline's temple in the glory. That's our place in the glory. That's our place of worship. The Lord's given us a heavenly place to enter into His presence. It's on the mountain of the Lord. It's above the cloud line. It's above the snake line. It's in the heavenlies, and that's a place for us to go and worship. And that's a place for us to dwell. It's actually a habitation of the Lord, and His intention is for us to live up there, to dwell up there, above the cloud line in the heavenlies. And He's made that place for us. So that's for this body.
Thank you, Lord. We receive that. We call that in. The Word of God is central to anything that happens in this place. Anything that happens in worship and impartation and anything that we do. Why? Because Jesus is the Word. Chew on that for a moment and then turn in the Word. Children, not quite yet. We're tracking with you. We're almost ready. Probably wondering about those palms. Look in Romans chapter 7, verses 25. Romans chapter 7, verse 25 is the last verse. It says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. It sounds like a struggle. How many of us feel a struggle at times? A lot of struggle, a lot of earthly issues, a lot of things that we're dealing with, like, oh, what do I do with this, 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 and this? Now go right down to the next verse where it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 1. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. And the Lord goes on in Romans 8 all the way through to let us know that we have been freed from everything that doesn't pertain to life and godliness. And so the love that he's releasing from heaven to earth, yet even today, is intended to touch us and draw us into that place so that we can continue to receive that which Jesus always already purchased for us. He already did this. And that's why we sang at 10:30, oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. You've washed my sin away. You've washed the separation away so that I could know you and I could feel you and that I would know that there are differences in my life, in my children's life. And the Lord says that as he is continuing to invade us, those differences that don't line up with how we feel it should, you know, kingdom things, they will change. The Lord says, remain steady. Keep pressing in. Don't take things into your own hands. Trust me. I am bigger than these problems. I'm bigger than the pain. I am bigger than anything, and I will make a way so that the truth that I have brought you into not only will grow, but it shall remain. The Lord says, I want you to remain. I want you to remain. I want you to be planted, firmly planted in the soil of the Spirit. The Lord says that in that planting, there was an intention from heaven to completely bring us into great fruition where our fruit of our lives would be very mature. So as we were planted in the soil, that garden of his heart, the garden of God's love, we are so planted, firmly planted, that nothing can ever shake that from us. And so anything that would rise up to render our life miserable has a solution. But the Lord says, just don't make it happen your way. Don't take it into your hands because it won't work well for you. My solution will work. My solution is intended to continue to keep working for you. Isn't that good? That's what the Lord has right now. He's saying, I love you. I love you. I care about you. Don't run your own life or run anybody else's with your fears. Don't do that. Why? Because things won't go well for us. Not because he's mad, but because he's a lover. And he says, I just don't want you to be hurt. That's why I sent Jesus. I love you so much. I love you so much. I don't want you to walk in the way that is a struggle like this. Ugh. I want to set you free because I already have, but I want you to have it. I want you to own it. I want you to walk in it. Isn't that a good word? It's just so true. And it's so simple. So simple. Lord says, let the simplicity of the gospel speak right now. Children, I want you to see. I want you to look and I want you to see these beautiful plants. Do you see them? There's 10 of them. See them all? They weren't there last Sunday. These are palm plants. And they probably look a little bit like the palm branches that were put down for Jesus and also were used as flags for Jesus when he was coming into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Isn't that cool? And we're celebrating what happened 2,000 years ago. We're celebrating that. What happened 2,000 years ago is a big deal. But even bigger than that is what God is saying to you right now. It's like, whoa, wait a minute here. Because what God's saying to you right now couldn't be said without what happened 2,000 years ago. Now, you understand my heart. Jesus is everything. He is central to everything that we are doing and saying and believing. But he's saying, I so want you to know me. I so want you to know my heart. And I also want you to take advantage of everything that I have purchased for you since I died for you, since I raised for you. I want you to know me. I was sent from heaven. I was sent. I was sent. I'm a sent one, he said, because of love. He said, I love you so much that I want you to be able to feel my arms of love around you. That's what I want for you. And children, we celebrate him today. We celebrate our God who said, my kids need to know me. They don't know me as father. They don't know my hugs. They don't know my love. They're not seeing me. They're wandering around looking for something, but they don't know me. And I've got to provide a way. And Jesus was and is the way still. There is no other way. And when we come to know him and love him, we can't help but tell others about him. Because that's just the way we were made. So little David and Daniel and Joseph and Judah and all the little ones and Joshua and another Joshua and Kenzie and Gracie and all the little ones. And there's more, Nadia. I don't want to forget anybody. There's lots of kids. So help me out here. Isabel, there's more. You're a family. And the Lord is covenanted with you. And he says, I love you. And I'm with you. And I'm raising you. I've just loaned you to your parents for a little bit. And I want you to know me in the secret place, even at a very young age. So that's a very big priority for us in this place. Easy to lose sight of, because that's not what maybe we see some places or sometimes. But that personal connection with him means more than anything. We can run, and we can say no, and we can say la, 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 but it doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change the truth. And I love this family. Sometimes we come from families that aren't so healthy, so it's hard to think of a place as a family. I was reminded of that yesterday. But so the Lord wants to healthize us so we can understand what real health will look like in the family of God and then extend that to our own families. So children, I want you to see these. We're not giving them to you today. We're going to leave them right here in the pot, something new. And when you come next Sunday for Resurrection Sunday, for Easter Sunday, we're hoping that because of that great love in your hearts that the Lord has already given, he just loves you so much. Can you imagine children? So many children. So I can't. Sorry about all the names. There's more. Everybody else. Okay. But all the children, can you imagine what the Lord sees for you in your life? Can you imagine? Maybe not. But your parents are called to dream. And I'm just really excited that some of our kids already are spending time in heaven or being touched by angels or prophesying life or laying hands on the sick and they're getting healed and having visions. We can't make that happen. But when the atmosphere is pregnant with the kingdom, it's a good word, but when it's alive with the kingdom, these things will occur, and that's what matters to God, and he's happy. He's really pleased. So parents, I exhort you, before we release the children, I exhort you this week to spend a lot of time in the secret place together with your children. And we have ways to help facilitate that. But also, as these little future forerunners that are really in the running now, I mean, we've got some kids, 1 and 2, prophesying, moving forward, laying hands on sick. My little grandson Daniel was laying hands on his mommy for healing, and he's 2 today. Woo! Well, Daniel. Well, I mean, officially tomorrow, but we call it today to him. So I know it's tomorrow, but he's thinking it's today. And so he's laying hands on his mommy. We want to see that. But we don't want to see just works, because anybody can do the works. We want to see the heart, okay? We want to see the supernatural explosion of the kingdom of God, where a life is so turned on to Jesus that the children are changed and they're changing, and the enemy will do anything to stop that. And so we need to jump on board and rally around the families and the kids and call them in and help them stand. And we need to increase. We're trying. But we need all hands on deck to do it together and not be disjointed about it. Because the enemy, if the Lord's doing these things, and the enemy's not going to sit back and go, wowie, isn't that cool? Love it. He's going to divide, separate, and he's going to hurt and kill and all that stuff. We don't like to talk about that today. We're just all about celebration of good things, and that's life. Because if the Bible says there's no condemnation, I'm living in that, thank you. And I'm choosing to live in his joy, the Lord's joy today. One thing that we're doing, and the children will hear more about it in Kingdom class today, and this idea came in the middle of the night to help our children step out. We're not trying to populate. Jesus wants to populate heaven, but we're more interested in the kingdom of what God's doing right now. So the children will be given opportunities to be able to have something tangible in their hand to offer to someone. When I saw a one-year-old child hand something to a woman in her maybe 70s or 80s in a wheelchair, and I felt the glory come, I thought, oh my gosh, there is power here. So parents, I invite you, those who have children, to join in with your children this week. We're inviting people to come. We're saying, come, come, come. Just as people were preparing the way for the Savior of the world, many didn't know who he was, but they knew something big was happening. This guy's on a colt, and people are getting excited about it, and he's the King of the Jews. Maybe I don't understand what that looks like and what's happening with that. We'll look at the passage and take it apart, and you'll see point by point by point. So there's no doubt in your mind, but just for the children right now to kind of give them a little loving boost. The Lord says, I'm doing this again. I'm coming again, and I'm raising up the very ones who will see my face even now. Some of our children, and that's all of us, we're children of God. But the Lord is saying, I want the children to see, I want them to hear, and I want you to back them up, and I want you to draw them. And they may not understand, because they will be imparted to, and they will receive what you have and what we have. So the culture, the transforming culture of goodness, so much fun. It's a family culture. I exhort you to just spend some time with your little ones. And if they push you back, love them to life and speak over them. And speak, because the Spirit hears and they're being changed, whether you see it or not. You might get a smack or a kick, and I hope not, but I'm telling you, the Lord will honor these desires to draw the children into his presence. And as you do this, and we do this together, oh my. And one thing more, and then children can go right to the Kingdom Kids. Okay? And this is about the little children. Children, I want you to hear this from me, from the front. Okay? When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, imagine that you were standing there. Imagine that you were 1, 2, 10, however old you are, 15, whatever age you are, call yourself a child as long as you want. And you're standing there and you're imagining what would it be like to understand what's going on, because everybody's excited, very excited. Can you imagine? You might have been standing with people next to you, blocking your way, but you knew something was happening. You felt it. You felt something wonderful. You felt something amazing, and you wanted to get up to the front because you wanted to see what was going on, and you could get your eyes just pressed in a little bit further. Or maybe you were beaten up and you were hurt by people in your life, and that scared you, so you moved back a little bit. But that didn't change the atmosphere of love that was drawing you. And the Lord said, keep coming, honey. Keep coming. Keep coming. We need to foster that. So children, when you go to your kingdom class today and you hear more about Palm Sunday and what this is about, these are called palms and these are the branches where they hailed the King of the Jews coming in to his death. But they didn't know it. They didn't know it. And your teachers will tell you more about that. Suffer not the little ones to come unto me. They're very precious and important. And you get individual attention one-on-one if you want it. Take advantage. Let's just extend our hands to all the children as they leave today. Just have a real heart for the children today. Always, but today's... God wants to do something new. If they're already prophesying, he's going to take them to another place. In the spirit. Let's just extend our hands. If your child's next to you, put your hand on your child. Father, I just thank you right now for the life in this room. I thank you, Lord, for the wisdom, Lord, of drawing the people here that you have, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that you don't make mistakes and you know exactly what you're doing. I thank you, Lord, for each life here that has been dedicated into your hand. And Father, that today would be a new day, a release over each one. There would be an impartation from heaven to earth of great love and great change inside, deep inside, coming from you, because we stand with each one. And we thank you, Lord God, because of the release of love, the little seeds that have been sown will raise up in magnificence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the worshipers. The worshipers and the prophets and the apostles and the teachers and the evangelists and the pastors, Father, and the intercessors and all the beautiful ones that are being raised up in this house. Thank you, Lord, for their life. Draw them into your embrace. And teach us, Lord, how to work with them, for they are truly your anointed little ones. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. On that happy note, goodbye for now. And just turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, if you would. Kids are released right now. Mark chapter 11, I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord. I know we have great things happening in families today, some families, and this can be a bittersweet time. This can be a time where, I love resurrection and Easter. This is great. And it can also be a season where pain is surfacing because it's been difficult. Some of our traditions have been chaotic. And some of our traditions or experiences have been experiences or traditions that have rallied around pain and conflict and grief. And fighting, chaos. And the Lord says, okay, that's the natural. But I want you to set your mind on things above as you've been doing, as you've been worshiping me, because I am going to help establish something new in your life right now. I'm going to do something for you. It's going to take you to a place where even though your past, or even maybe your present for some, but your past, most definitely for many, will be one that has been filled with conflict. Like, what do I do with this? This makes me uncomfortable. I don't even know why. Well, today's a day of love. Every day's a day of love. There's no condemnation in Jesus. You know, last week, Pastor Bill had some pictures up there, and he was talking about potholes. Yeah, it was really powerful. It was really good. But if you major on potholes, what a bummer. And he didn't, but if we do, he talked more about the love to fill in the potholes. But the Lord sees our life and goes, oh no, I see that pothole, let me pour my love into it. I like that. I don't want to walk around in potholes. So it was a really good, encouraging message. But the Lord put on my heart to speak a little bit about the triumphal entry. Oh my, can you imagine, on the day on Palm Sunday, but I really believe it has a lot to do with our forerunner mentality, which means our thinking that changes in conjunction with what the Lord's releasing in this hour. He's telling us, I'm coming again, and I'm preparing the way, and it's a very exciting time, and it's a time when my fire's been released in different places and pockets. And so I want you to be in one of those places and pockets and really connect in and get behind and watch what I do. That makes sense to me. You know, there was a synergy in this triumphal entry. And how do I know that? Well, if we take a look, if we're in Mark chapter 11, back up to Mark chapter 10, let's look at that and see what was going on. Right before that, Bartimaeus receives his sight. So this is probably not so typical for for a holiday message, so to speak. Every day being a holiday in the Lord. Verse 46, then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. Verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and he said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He was crying out and he's blind. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Somewhat familiar. Many were sternly telling him, be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more. Why? Because he wanted something. He knew something. Crying out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. Shh, be quiet. Quiet. Can't you see someone important's coming in? Son of David, have mercy on me. I know. I want to connect. Wow. That's amazing. Well, as we continue on, Jesus said in verse 49, he stopped and he said, call him here. He gave a command. He gave a directive. It was very clear. So they called the blind man. And here's what they said to him, this orderly bunch. I mean, somebody had to have some kind of order somewhere. There was some kind of system set up. Okay, so Jesus is walking. He's got his bodyguards or a group around him. He's got his disciples around him, and he's got these people there. And they say, all right, here's what you need to do, person who's crying out against our orders. But Jesus is trumping what they're saying. So the natural is saying, let's do this. It makes sense. It's logical. Of course, let's do this. I can see it, and I'm tired of the chaos the way it is. So let's do it this way. And Jesus is saying, I'm God and you're not. Yes, but I prayed about it. I mean, they didn't say that. It's not in the scripture, but think about that. They really are trying to follow what God's saying. I mean, these are his pals. These are the ones, he's pals meaning friends, but also his disciples, and he's leading them and he's training them. And he's saying, I don't think so. You thought you heard my voice, but you didn't. You took things into your own hands. You went your own way and decided, this makes sense, I'm going to do it. And so Jesus, ever so lovingly and very gently, I love this, no condemnation, remember, says, call him here. Oh boy. So they speak to him and they say, take courage, stand up, he is calling for you. They didn't doubt him, they didn't fight him. They didn't say, Jesus, what's up with that? I can't take it any longer. I've been guarding you for a very long time. For heaven's sakes, we've been going from place to place to place, town to town. There's always another crowd. There's always a beggar. Sometimes they're blind, sometimes they're not. I mean, come on. You can't talk to everybody. Can't we help you out? Aren't we supposed to be lifting you up and taking care of you? We're really trying to do a good job. I mean, can you see that scenario? Oh, my. And Jesus says, call him here. All right, all right, all right. So now they have to tell him what to do still. Now take courage, as opposed to not having courage. Take courage and stand up. Now stand up. So his blind beggar is not standing, is he? What's he doing? He's doing something. He's sitting. Stand up. He is calling for you. Take courage. Verse 50, throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. He didn't stand. He jumped. I just found that interesting. It's like he didn't stand up and sheepishly stand there. I hope he hears me. But he jumps up. He knew. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I really believe that many of life's issues and situations that we're facing, sometimes we feel pushed and pressed to say, I've got to go this particular direction, possibly calling it the Lord, it's not the Lord, because it's not his best. He gives us choices, but it's not his best. So we can call it, we could say, I want his best. If we want to say, Lord, I want your best no matter what, that means something. And to me, and I think to all of us, that would mean that we have to get ourselves out of the way. If we want his best, we have to move. Does that make sense? To me, it does, because that's what happened here. But I can take from this something very poignant for my own life. It's like, oh my gosh, there's no condemnation for me. I'm in Christ Jesus. I am set free from the law of sin and death. I am free to live the life of love. This is wonderful. This is the message that we take to Africa and India and Indonesia and different places, but also here. Because the Lord wants us to live in that and feel it. And if we're not, he just wants us, he wants more love for us. He's not, that's not him. That's not anybody. If we take it that way, then he's just saying, I think more love needs to be released somewhere. That's all he's saying. It's quite simple. I love that. It makes me want to come near him and not to run away. Because it's nothing but love. The answer is always love. It's always going to be love. It's not going to be anything but love. Because there is no fear in love. And perfect love casts out all fear. Let's say it again. There is no fear in love. And perfect love casts out all fear. And there's no punishment then, the scripture tells us. There's no fear. If there's no fear, there's no punishment. There's no punishment from God. This is a truth that today, if we can grab a little bit more, we're probably tracking in a better way at receiving God's love. He's not punishing us. He is not. Well, I can get past. All right, he's not going to smack me down. Fine, all right. I've heard that one. All right, I guess I can buy that for today. But come on. I mean, look at what I am, what I've done, what I feel, and everything else. I'm feeling condemned, for heaven's sakes. But the Lord says there's no punishment for me. That's what the scripture says. 1 John 4:19, read it, look it up. Lord wants us to know there is no punishment from him. So when he set us free from the law of sin and death, he took all punishment. It's not just a cute little thing to say on a mission trip. Well, you know, he took the punishment for my sin. No, no, really. He's not punishing us. He's not punishing us. Oh my goodness. We are free to make as many mistakes as we want. Isn't that wonderful? It's okay. We can, but he's saying, I want you to have the best. So if you'll move back a little bit, get yourself out of the way, you'll have something better than what you have, because I am the best. I mean, he's the only one, I think, that can get away with saying that. I am the best. I am the greatest. Although he does want us to say that we are his favorite. So I'm his favorite. How about you? Do you feel that? Do you feel it all the time? If you don't, there's more love he wants to release. It's that simple, but there's a way to navigate through that. That's all. And we want to navigate together so that more love is released and staying and remaining. Not just go, oh, wow, I feel so good. And then I don't feel so good tomorrow. He wants his love to remain. And that love inside of us will produce great fruit. Great fruit. Good fruit that will remain. John 15 says. Oh, I love that. Okay, we're not even to the triumphal entry yet. But check this out. Call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up. He's calling for you. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus says, can you imagine? So what do you want me to do? I always smile when I read that. It's like, did you miss something, Jesus? I want you to heal my back. No, I jumped up. So you know that Jesus knows that he's blind. But he's positioning himself right here. And Jesus is saying, what do you want me to do, child? Father is speaking through Jesus, okay? The Spirit of God. What do you want me to do? I want you to fix me. Okay. I will do it, and I am doing it. I'm going to do it right now. How about that one? But I'm not going to push myself on you. What do you want me to do? In essence, now catch this if you can. In essence, I believe he's saying, Mr. Blind Man, Mr. Bartimaeus, are you inviting me to come and take away your blindness? Are you wanting me? Are you receiving me? It's all about receiving him. He's never off duty. He's around us. We might feel, you know, with the circumstances of our kids and family and hurts from the past and present. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm just tired of all this. I mean, we can all say that we've probably said that. If you've never said it, I'd like to meet you. Because I have. I'm tired of this. Oh. Nevertheless, what does your word say about it? You know, help, help, help. There's always a nevertheless because of love. That's the good news. Always. I'm just pressing in. Oh, is Josh in here? Where's Josh? He's with the kids. Oh, he had such a cool... He's going to Moz with us this summer, Mozambique, and he had such a cool vision from God. And he said, let me just paraphrase, and then he can fix it next time he talks, okay? But all for Mission Weekend, you can help me with this one. But he was saying that usually he likes to try to lean in. Lean in. Don't we all want to lean in to the presence of God? What does that mean? Let's lean in. I don't want to fall over, but let's lean in. So he's leaning in, but the Lord's saying, I've got your back. In so many words, I'm leaning back. And he felt this hand back there. And the Lord is saying, just rest. Rest. Lean back as you're leaning in. It's like, whoa. Ask him about it when you see him. So you know that thing Pastor Mary Pat was talking about? Can you make sense of that and tell me exactly what it was for you? But that's how I heard it anyway. Anybody want to add to that? Was that pretty much what you heard? All right. All right. Lean back so I can press you forward. But lean back. So there's rest. And these guys who were surrounding Jesus, they were not leaning back. They were taking control, by golly. You know, I've got a job to do. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to protect this guy. Don't we do that with the people around us? I'm going to protect my, name your significant people. I'm going to protect my brother, my mother. Judith is here. Can we just say hello to Judith? I'm so excited. Judith Groover. She's a wonderful friend. I will just say she is my friend. I'm not going to say she's a wife. She's a mother. She's this, that. She is Judith. And welcome, Judith Groover. She's also related to Henry Groover and Peter and Teresa and all that. But welcome, Judith, my dear friend. But isn't that just so true? The Lord's saying, if you want my best, and bodyguards around me, you just missed that one. Kind of took it into your own hands because you were trying to protect me, the Son of God. Whatever. You know, think about that. It just hit me. But if you think about this, we're doing that, aren't we? I mean, I know. I'm just like, oh, hello, you're talking to me. You try to protect your brother, your somebody. I don't know who you can name it. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. Maybe try to protect your Peter. Okay, all right. Or your dog or whatever. But sometimes we we step in and we're in our efforts of love to try to protect. We step in and we take control and we do it ourselves. And we really don't let the Lord do what he wants to do. And then we miss God's best. Oh, hello. And I think there's an example of that right before Jesus walks or rides into on the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So what do you want me to do for you as he's speaking to the blind man? Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. I hope he didn't say, so what do you think? But he said, I want to regain my sight. I am saying to you, I'm putting a demand on the anointing. He didn't know what that meant. And some of us don't know what that means either. But we're saying, Jesus, I am wanting to lean into you, know you, embrace you for who you are fully. And I'm going to learn whatever it takes to learn how to rest. So as you're propelling me forward so that I can have your best, for the people I want to protect. What are we protecting from? And Father knows more than we do. Sometimes we respond just to what we feel or see instead of getting a direct word from the Lord. And sometimes we don't know how to get a direct word from the Lord because life's so chaotic. I don't even know. It's like, I just want it to stop. I'm tired of it. Right? I mean, who can relate to that? Only two? Maybe 20? Maybe more? So it's true. You know, it's true. So here we are, Jesus really saying, I'm here for you, son. And he says, Jesus says, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Oh, we're going on the road now. Here we go. We're finally into the message. A little bit different. I'm kidding. This is the message. Don't worry, you're not going to be here late. But he's you know, no. This is Resurrection Easter Sunday, so we have things to do. So, oh my! But go, your faith has made you well, and he regained his sight, and everybody lived happily ever after. I love that. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what it says? No. He regained his sight and he immediately started walking with Jesus. Can you imagine what he saw? Can you imagine what he watched? Can you imagine how he felt? I've never really thought about this before until just this moment. Can you imagine how he felt when he's with these dudes again and somebody else who's maybe blind or a paralytic or something, you know, is going, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And these guys are going, shh, be quiet. No, get away from him. And he's got this revelation of, I got this one down now. He has demonstrated his faithfulness, his love to me, his power to me. Oh my gosh, I've had an encounter with him. I got this one a little bit better than I did before. And the fear that I had that I was going to be thrown away, not cared about, not even looked at, that someone once again was going to pass me by, that fear is gone because now I've had an encounter with Jesus and now I can see him and now I can hear him physically and spiritually. Oh my goodness. Isn't this good? I mean, this is, now they're on the road. Da, da, da. Now it's time for the triumphal entry. I believe he was with them. Watching, going, he's for real. This is it. This guy just doesn't do miracles. I mean, I have felt his power and his love in me. Because he said, what do you want? What do you want? He didn't say, bring me the blind, for heaven's sake. Sorry, eyes. What do you want? Right. All right, come on. This is a faith declaration. This is word faith. Get it right. What do you want? Your faith? Okay, your faith is good. Now you can be healed. Doesn't work that way. But he does say, your faith has made you whole. And the scripture tells us that faith worketh through love and worketh by love. So blind, formerly blind, Bartimaeus had an encounter with Jesus. And he was healed in the presence of God. He was healed in his presence. Completely set free of his infirmity in his presence. And Jesus, he didn't say, way to go, Bartimaeus. Good job, dude. Yeah, now you're catching it. I'm the top banana here, so you just get close to me and it's cool. He says, your faith has made you well, which means he was not partnering with the fear that kept him down. Because fear will do that. Fear is the arch enemy of faith and pushes us into something that's not God's very best. That's what fear does. That's its job. You know, fear has a job, little cap that says fear and says, I think I'm going to push. And then I'm going to push, and then we push, and then we push, and we control, and we push, and we push. And so fear lurks around and tries to kick us. And Jesus is saying, no, I want you to rise because faith, true faith, means that you've encountered me and you've seen me. You've desired me, connected with me, and I'm going to increase your faith. Your faith in me. Not in the miracle itself, but in me. It's made you whole. You have encountered, you have partnered with heaven. Heaven has connected with me. Heaven has come into me. Heaven to earth has taken place. There was a divine connection of love. And therefore, the Lord saw it as faith. It's like, I like that. There's no pressure. That's just not pressure. You know, we've been raised, a lot of us, with pressure from our churches in the past, or maybe family members unknowingly or whatever, because that's all we knew to do. And the Lord says, there's no pressure in me like that, but there is something really good, and that really good is what I want you to have. And I want you to encounter me, and the ones that you're responsible for that I'm really loaning to you for a short time, I want them to have that same kind of encounter, but even greater at an earlier age, and it's now. It's like, oh, that's kind of cool. This is all right. You know, you can teach a class on spiritual warfare and get depressed. Come on. I know. I'm like, wait a minute. It's supposed to be joyful. I'm not like, oh, I'm in the army now. You know, that is really, The Lord says when you encounter the Lord, well, okay, you may recognize that there's a foe just trying to keep you from God's best, and I'm just running, keep having those encounters with Jesus, you know, and the Lord's just wanting us to, you know, get that foot out there, and it's a done deal, so that this thing or things will just stop messing. It's like, I don't like that lady. She's got faith written on her forehead. Oh no, now I'm feeling really condemned. Now we're talking about faith. Oh no. I've got to muster it up. I've got to do it. I've got to create it. No, we don't. We don't do it. Where did this faith come from for blind Bartimaeus? Do you think he took a class on faith 101? No. He had a desire inside. The presence of God was there. He also had a need, and he realized, I was created for this. I don't know how much he realized that, but enough to get healed. And get the attention of Jesus. What do you want? I mean, that question right there can be our question today. Lord, I've already asked, and I've not seen the result of my prayer. You're not working. Who says? I mean, we do want to see manifestations of things, not making light of problems and struggles and, you know, hurts and families and wounds and things like that. No way. I mean, that's tough stuff. But we need to rally together and not isolate and not hide and run. I mean, blind Bartimaeus is blind for a reason. I don't know the reason, but he's blind. Didn't just happen like, whoop, I think he'll be blind. So there's a reason he's blind. Don't know why. But let that speak to each one of us. The Lord's saying, stay connected. Stay close. Stay connected and close, so that our love connection with him can grow. And it does make a difference. Really does make a difference. Oh, yay. So as they approach Jerusalem, here we are in the traditionally good chapter for the day. But also there's great meat in here. But we're going to touch on some of this before we say goodbye. As they approach Jerusalem, all Bethage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said, go, I wonder if it was Bartimaeus. Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one yet has ever sat. Amazing. Purified, huh? Untie it and bring it here. Verse 3, if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? And you say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it back here. Oh. Wait, is that arrogance or what? I mean, no, it's not. It's called, I'm living and working. I am the prophetic. I don't just do prophetic. I am prophetic, okay? And I know you, and I know what you're thinking, and I know what you need, because you really need my help, and I am who I am, because I only do what I see my Father do, and I only hear what my Father is saying, and I only speak what my Father is telling me to speak. So that's where it is. So therefore, I know what the need is at the moment. I'm 100% on top of it. You're not getting 90% from me. You're getting 100% from me. I love that. It's just like, oh, all righty then. There's confidence, because Jesus is exerting confidence, because he knows who he is, and he is releasing his authority, isn't he? Yeah, but he's God. He's man who said, excuse me, yes, I will venture down from my heavenly throne because I love you so much and come into this amazing dimension that we have the privilege of living in for a short time. Thank you very much. But I will come down from the glory realm, teach you how to live in the glory realm until you come home and you live with me again. But I'm going to come down. I'm going to do it as the man. So you can track with me. And I'm going to do it with my Father's help. And I'm going to the cross for you. I'm getting ready. So the King of the Jews is being released right now in front of all the people. And some might have recognized. Many more than likely did not. So Jesus is setting all this up. Go. First words out of his mouth. I love it. G-O. Go. Go. He doesn't mean run away. He means go and do what I tell you, because you have been close to me and I'm giving you my directive. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will provide for you. Remember, I'm saying and doing what my Father says and does. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will protect you. He will heal you. He will, he will, he will. So Jesus has the confidence to say, go. Ready then. Go into the village opposite you. One. Boom. And as you enter it, all right, I guess I know as soon as I get there, like, okay, you will find a colt right there. Can you imagine how they felt when they saw the colt? And in which no one has ever sat. How did he know that? I think we know the answer. And bring it here. So here's what you do. Go, find, and bring. I will tell you exactly what to do. Don't do anything else but that. Just do that. Do what I tell you to do, and things will go well with you. Amazing concept. If anyone says to you, now he's going to help them set up, because he knows the distractor, the arch enemy of our soul, is going to come and say, so what do you think about this one? Which makes perfect sense, my goodness, to the logical disciple and follower. Yes, I want to serve Jesus. I want to take care of him. I want to protect him. I want to give him the best deal. So if anybody comes, now I won't fall into this trap. And maybe I was one of the ones who fell into the trap when blind Bartimaeus got healed. I don't know. And Jesus loves me so much, he's going to say, I know it didn't work for you well yesterday or whenever that was, but let's try it again. Try this one. I'll be a little more direct. Maybe I was before, but it just went somewhere else. So I'll help you again. I mean, the Lord's so loving. He's so patient with us, isn't he? I mean, I don't know if they were the same guys or not, but, you know, they traveled as a pack, so why not? Probably so. So the Lord, tell him the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it back here. The Lord has need of it. The Lord. Can you imagine? I want your colt. The Lord has need of it. Okay, and he will send it back here. So here's what they did. They went away. They found a colt outside the street. It was tied up. They untied it. Sounds like they're following directions. I think it's a message from the next step after blind Bartimaeus. I see. They went away. Verse 5. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, what are you doing untying the colt? Can you imagine their feeling? Like, ha, ha, ha. Oh, what a smart God. They spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. Imagine that. Again, following in the footsteps of Jesus. And he's the one that makes it possible. He's the one that was saying, kids, I will back you up. If you are determined to hear my voice, you won't mess it up. I always mess it up. I always mess up things. I mess up relationships. I have since I was two, and I'm going to mess them up again. And then my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren are all going to mess up things because we mess up. That's a messed up mindset that needs to be taken and filtered with love, because somebody has said that, maybe, where you feel like, I'm just a mess up at times. And that's where condemnation comes. And so Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. Let me tell you, you can do this. It's okay. I'll back you up. I'll provide the way. I'll do this for you. Not only will I provide the colt, you don't even have to go find it. I figure that one out too. I'm your great provider. I'll solve your problem. I'll make it so easy. Just follow my way. Remember blind Bartimaeus? Remember? Or maybe he's with the group. So, interesting thought. They spoke to them just as Jesus had said, and they gave them permission. Okay, verse 7. they brought the colt to Jesus and put their coats on it, and he sat on it. I wonder whose idea that was. Do you think that we're just waiting for Jesus to pop that idea in? Or is he working with us also and saying, you know, anyone who really desires me will be brought into a place of deep humility and will recognize me. And there won't even be a question. I don't need Jesus to tell me, put something over that colt. Even though he's perfectly able and could have and, you know, all of that. But, you know, it's like, oh my, I'm recognizing when the presence of God is around me, it makes me shudder. I'm not going to be talking to my neighbor saying, so go find me a better coat, would you, please? I mean, I don't know. Get one with some gold on the side and maybe some stripes. That might look a little better. You know, and it's going to be hot on that colt. It's a tough day in Jerusalem. They spread their coats on it, their own coats. In verse 8, and many spread their coats in the road. Wow, I think coats were probably a pretty big deal. And tunics, I mean, this is a hot place. This is not like, you know, they need air conditioning and all of that. They don't have it. They probably need it. They don't have these great big heavy things with fur and everything. You know, they've got tunics and things like that they travel with, that they carry, that's very important to them, that would be trampled upon by many. Not the one Jesus sat on necessarily, but the ones laying down for sure. And many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches. Maybe they didn't have coats. Maybe they were just crying, saying, where? Well, give me something. I've got to do something. Oh my gosh, the king is here. Let me wave my hands. Let me jump. Let me clap. Let me move my body. Give me a palm branch. Let me do something. I've got to do something to express my love to my king or to this very important person that I know is significant, but I'm not quite sure exactly what it means, but I know something's happening because the power of God and the presence of God was there. And they spread those leafy branches which they had cut from the fields, and those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They got it. They understood. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Many understood, but many did not. Many got caught in, were engrafted in. Many would be able to say, what's happening here? Why is that worship team looking like they're having fun up there? I don't know. What do you think? But I feel good. I feel lighter. Don't you? Just lighter. I don't know. It's rather long, but, you know, I'm just feeling a little bit lighter. What is it? The presence of God is tangible. You can feel his glory. You can feel his presence. You can feel his witness. Sense, feel. Don't get freaked out by that. We can sense, we can feel. God created us to sense and feel. Jesus sat on a colt. I'm sure he felt that, okay? And I'm sure the colt would never be the same either. It's like, whoa, the King of Glory is sitting on me. Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple, and after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. On the next day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to stop right there. Well, maybe we'll go a little bit long. 13. Seeing at a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. Gee, I wonder. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening. He was responding. The Lord was responding, but he was also prophetically telling us what was happening, what was going on. He had the power to curse a fig tree. He had the power to bring life. He had the power, the resurrection power, to do anything. He was saying, this is not going to happen. I know what season it is, and it is my season. And this is the season where I am going to die for all men and women, past, present, and future, to set them free. They can know my Father, and they can come into the family, stay in the family, and be okay. And they can trust me for great provision, for great change, and things will go better, will go well for you. Like, okay. But I'm still a little bit interested in the colt. Not that I'm not interested in this. But until we get to a place where the consistency in our life will be able to carry the King of Glory where we go, we may still suffer or deal with condemnation and fear and different things like that. But God says, I so want you to be able to steward what's coming. I want you to be able to carry me, my glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory, lives in you if you know Jesus Christ. I want you to be equipped, and I have chosen you to do that. I have chosen the colt that would carry me. I have looked, I have seen, and I know exactly which one, where it is, and it is in perfect condition. No one has ever ridden on it. It is ready and fit. And so that's part of our preparation in this life that we're leading right now. We're being prepared to usher in Jesus Christ coming again. A picture here for the first time when he came. He came to die. He was born 33 years before this. The Lord is saying, you are the donkeys. You are the colt who Jesus can trust with his glory. Not give his glory, but trust so that we can steward wisely where the King of Glory wants to go and what the King of Glory wants to do. The nameless, faceless donkey, but that was petitioned by God, sought out by God, corralled by God, sitting right there, absolutely chosen by the Lord. Each one of us in here is chosen by God. Your children and those yet to come are chosen by God. So when we're handling them or our friends and grandsons, just, you know, I see children because there's lots of kids here, but God is saying, oh, let me grab your heart, because you're not just a birther. You didn't just birth kids, fathers and mothers. You have responsibility of love to carry the same glory. You are glory carriers. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your condition. The condition that the Lord sees is his condition. And he wants to change what is able to be changed in this world. And I just am crazy enough, wild enough to believe that every condition can be changed. I believe it. I've seen a lot of it. I've not seen all of it. And I'm still growing. And I know there's so much more. Even when we were overseas in India and Indonesia and Singapore couple weeks ago, just been home a few weeks, we saw such an increase of the glory. It's like, oh, I was marveling and amazed. Oh my gosh. God, you're so big. And he wants to do that for us here. And he is doing that for us. So with all eyes closed, Father, I just thank you that you have given us a message of hope this morning. A hopeful message, Lord, that every message that should be preached ever, anytime, anywhere, should be a message of hope, because that's who you are. But today, Lord, as we're preparing our hearts for the soon and coming King again, the resurrection of Jesus, oh my, may our hearts just resonate with that. May we be so filled with awe of your wonderfulness, Lord, that we will say to our neighbors and friends, hey, do you want to come and hear about Jesus? Draw them in. God will honor you for honoring him. So, Father, I thank you that as we step out in love, we step out in faith, Lord, we're just going to lay down through the palm branches that were laid down and the cloaks that were laid down, we're going to lay down the things that could possibly hurt us so that your glory could be seen and shown through us, and we would be filled with so much more joy, so much more power, so much more release to see the kingdom of heaven come to earth. Let it be today, Lord. If there's anybody in here, and keep your eyes closed, please do that. And anybody in here who would like to invite Jesus to become their own personal Lord, you really don't know him yet. And that's okay. I thought I knew God for a long time, and I didn't. But then when he made himself known to me, when I said, yes, I want to know you, just like blind Bartimaeus, what do you want? I want my sight. If that's you and you want to know Jesus today, just keep your eyes closed, please. Just ask you to put your hand up in the air. If you've not made a faith declaration to him or a commitment, you don't know him and you want to. Okay, you want to know him today. Good. Thank you. I'm going to pray. You can keep your hand. Anybody else? Keep your hand up. I'm just going to pray right now. We're going to pray out loud because the greatest miracle is going to take place right now. Right now. Father, I just thank you that you are so amazing. And that you loved us so much that you would send Jesus to come and be like us, but listen to you, receive from you, love you to the point of laying down his own life completely and totally for us to take care of the issues in our own world and life that have kept us out of your kingdom. That's amazing love. What a great Father you are. We thank you today for that. We thank you that you are here in spirit and your presence is here. And we thank you, Lord God, that you desire to bring this person and anybody else whose hand may not have gone up into your kingdom right now, that they would come to know you, that they would come actually into your kingdom of light and goodness and wholesomeness. Lord, that we all would know that we are created to know you this way, for our spirit inside to be made alive because of you, and that you would take up residence and you yourself, by your spirit, Holy Spirit, you would live inside of this person and anybody else who is saying yes today. This is an amazing miracle. We can't do that. I thank you, Lord God, for opening the blind eyes today. And I thank you, Lord God, that when you, Jesus, died on the cross for our sin, and 3 days later, you raised from the dead, that you ensured through that raising that this is true and it can never be taken from us. So we thank you, Lord God, for your resurrection, power, and life that is being granted to this person today and anybody else in here. We thank you for the greatest miracle we will ever see, whether it be one or 10,000 at a time. You will make yourself known to the hungry heart. So we thank you for salvation in the house today. And we turn away right now from our past. Turn away from anything that would be contrary to the kingdom of heaven, and we would not move that direction anymore by your Spirit's help. We thank you, Lord God, that our sin is forgiven and now we have a new nature, and that new nature is part of us. It's who we are. So thank you for new life for this person now. In Jesus' name, people now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for resurrection life, for coming into the family of God, for salvation in this house. And Lord, for any of us also who have doubted you, who have embraced any fear, and have felt condemned, or have felt isolated or isolated ourselves, or have been struggling with anything that would not be from your hand, Father, we just posture ourselves right now to receive your love right now in those places. Holy Spirit, come. Reveal the Father's heart to each person in those places. Fill those places up right now with your love. Fill those places up right now with your power and your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor of calling you King. We just love you so much. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, and may we continue to prepare our hearts for Resurrection Sunday. In Jesus' name. We do have a global bridegroom fast. We've been doing this for a number of years. We invite you to participate. I think there's some flyers. Are there handouts there? Darlene, are you in here? Can you ask her if she got those? Anyway, we invite you to participate in that. If you don't know what that is, it's coming. But if not, there are some flyers out on the table. This is a house of prayer, because the Lord's establishing houses of prayer all over the world, because he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And we have a handout for you on global intercession. It's really good, very touching for our hearts to see our place and our position with the Lord. And the next Friday night, which is Good Friday, we have an all-night watch from 10 to 6. We invite you to come if you're able. We invite you to come and bring your kids if you're able. They can sleep in one of our tents. Put our tents up. We did that for mission training weekend. They're going to yell at me like, what did you say? But we do have this. If somebody can help Cynthia pass those out, I just want you to take one and just read it at your leisure. I came across that and thought it was a blessing, and it would encourage you and strengthen you. And it's not a how-to or you must, okay? It's an opportunity to just learn a little bit more about intercession and encourage you. Can I have one of those, Andrew? Just so I remember what I read.